Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, creating lifestyles and livelihoods of sustainable prosperity. Universe Spirit offers strategies for tackling humanity's most urgent global challenge, climate destabilization. Go to universespirit.org to find out how you can make a difference in our quest for a prosperous and sustainable future.
September 15th, 2015. What a coincidence for all of you who are into numerology. And this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about life's essential questions, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises. Our time tonight has been gifted by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you. And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, the organic section of Costco, and even the organic section of Safeway. But go to GoRaw.com to find out where GoRaw can be found in your neighborhood.
And by the way, you can find GoRaw if you do certain things in your tummy. But there are certain steps before that can happen. You have to go to a GoRaw sales site, get some, and then put it in. And then you can have GoRaw doing its wonderful thing inside your body.
By the way, the Raw is our sponsor. So tonight, we're going to be talking about by the way. It's an expression that means incidentally, but the way is so interesting because the way is a course. It's a destination. It's a lot of things, the way. But by the way means incidentally. By the way?
By the way.
I'm here, and you're here. What's happening, Errol? Errol is sitting here looking at a computer going...
By the way, the great covenant of faith between people and the Creator, I discovered, is that God agrees to do everything all people have to do is worry.
Oh, that's my creed.
Right. I thought you would find it welcome and familiar.
By the way, I changed that after a while. I finally decided that I didn't have to do that anymore. I did not have to worry. You, God, you do your thing, and I'm going to try and be just as happy as possible.
But by the way, there's not just worry. There's also guilt. I begin to wonder sometimes if the patterns of childhood that we've taken on that impede our self-expression and curtail our vitality emotionally and mentally, if we'll ever get through them in this lifetime. So that gives me hope for eternal life, because surely they're not going to leave all these guilts and misgivings about myself unresolved. There must be another episode to come.
Well, they'll just bury them with you.
Really?
We can have a lot of guilty caterpillars and bugs and things like that.
I met a guilty caterpillar once.
By the way, you know, I hear the expression a lot of people use with their children, like, you're a good girl, you're a good boy, whatever. And I think right away we set up our kids. What does it mean to be good? It means that you obey your mother and father. You do what's expected of you. That's being good. But doing things that are expected of you isn't always the most creative thing to do, because it doesn't always lead to the most efficacious inventions, the things that make life interesting and exciting and possible. So I think I'm going to scrape being good.
By the way.
Yes.
What was the word you used? Efficacious. That could be the word for tonight. Boy, don't you love saying that? Efficacious. I mean, really, it's just kind of...
It falls out of my mouth sometimes.
Sweepingly off the tongue, as yes, Shakespeare might say.
Yes, it did.
So I do want to go back to this concept. God agrees to do everything. All we have to do is worry. Now, of course, there's the tongue-in-cheek there. You decide which part of the sentence is the tongue-in-cheek.
Which part is the tongue and which part is the cheek?
Never mind. So this thing about God agrees to do everything. Now, this is something that has come up from certain angles and points of view. It raises a shitload of questions. Rochelle looked at me with
You're
that.
You're not supposed to say that.
Questions?
No, the other thing. And by the way, I don't know what the licensing on this, our production.
I don't think there's any licensing.
No, so you can say anything you want?
I actually was given a license at birth.
Oh, God.
No, I was. That's the first thing they handed me right after they separated me from the umbilical cord, which, by the way, I still have.
You do, in a jar somewhere?
Somewhere. I don't remember where it was.
Oh, God. By the way, let's talk about something else.
Well, this notion that there is a way, first of all, one of the reasons why the topic is so interesting to me, because Yeshua, and we talk about Yeshua a lot, Jesus, and I talk about him because, well, he's my teacher, and I try and follow his lead, and in fact, try and follow his way. And he made a pronouncement where he says, I am the way. Now, that is really interesting. For one thing, what it brings up, I wrote this song, and I wish I could find the lyrics, but it was called The Flag Upon the Hill. And for those of you who have ever played golf and you've played a hole that's called a dog leg because it's shaped in the shape of a, guess what?
A dog's leg.
Very good. Okay. And you're efficacious. Oh, I love that. What that means is that you can't see the green. For those of you who know something about golf, there's a green, there's a hole, and then there's a place some ways away from the green, which is the tee-off place, and that's where you hit this little white ball, or it could be any color, I suppose, and to get it in the hole. And they average around, 150 to 8,000 yards a hole.
8,000, God, that would not be so very
that
good.
That was a tough course. I think the average course is about 5,000 yards or something like that. But the song has to do with the metaphor of there's a flag on the fairway that points you in the direction you need to be hitting. And then from there, you'll be able to see the green and shoot for the green. And so they put a flag on the hill. It's often the case, not always, so that you'll know, hit it this way, but you can't see the green. You're flying blind. It could be any direction. To me, that was a fabulous metaphor for who I think and what I think the phenomenon of Yeshua alive on this planet is. It's saying, it's this way. We know you can't see the all beingness of all God, but if you aim this way, and he's standing over there, and he's kind of waving his arms and saying, come on this way. I'll point and I'll show you where the deal is. So one would ask, well, what does that mean that way? And what's the hole? And what's the green? And what's the payoff? And why should I believe him?
By the way, any of you listening to this program didn't know that Jesus was one of the early golfers.
It's not well known.
Long before the PGA.
Well, the biggest problem at that time, they did not make left-handed clubs, and he was left-handed.
No.
Yeah, he was left-handed, and so...
How do you know that?
It's something that occurs to me in my mind. So he had to learn.
By the way,
this.
Your mind is left-handed.
You've heard about great golfers. He achieved great golfing because he used right-handed clubs, but he swung from his left. So that's the opposite of the direction of the club. That's the kind of guy he is.
Go on.
No, that we did go on. That was another show.
But come on. You made all that up. I know you made it up because there's nothing written like that anywhere. Anywhere, even in those esoteric books that are out about
okay,
him.
But I am fascinated, aside from all the joking about golfing and all that, this notion that there is a direction, assuming one is intending toward, I guess, the truth, the living fullness of all being, transcending finite ups and downs and the chaos of it, putting oneself in a position to where you are a light unto the world, if that's your path, then it's helpful to have a beacon, a light, a way that's a waving arms.
And there's many ways. You know, I remember when I lived in Amsterdam and I was on this boat on the canal, one of the canals, in fact, the Amstel Canal, I think it was.
Okay.
I heard very clearly in my head, there are as many ways to the allness as there are people. One comes in contact if one wants to find a way, and one is open to finding that way. A way comes to us, and it fits us, resonates with who we are. Because some people have a way that's very different than ours, but it leads to the same place, even though it may not seem that way, because right now we're so far away from the place that we're going. But if you feel this sense, this is a direction for me, this feels right for me. And sometimes in one's life, there's many different guides or ways to get from one place to another, like taking many buses or vehicles to get to a destination. So I think that this way that works for you and I, because it resonates with us, it resonates with our personality, with something in us, is attracted to that way more than any other way. So by the way, if you're looking for a way, you don't find it by looking for it, you find it by being open to it, and then it comes to you. Did the way come to you?
The way came to me.
And the way came to me.
It's a subtle thing, and I wonder if, in fact, it is intuition, or that's part of the doorway that allows us to get to it. I'm just a simple girl in a high-tech digital world, ready to try to understand all the powers that rule this land. The same as Jay's big brother's boss, Kate Moss can't find a job in a world of postmodern fad. What was good now is bad. It's not hard to understand. Not quite sure, am I it or could you get more? You learn cool from magazines, you learn love from Charlie Sheen. If you want me, let me know. I promise I won't say no. That was Jewel singing Intuition. Follow your heart, your intuition. It will lead you in the right direction, is one of the lyrics. And it goes on to say, let go of your mind, your intuition. It's easy to find. Just follow your heart, baby. Some might suggest that the way of the heart is the way, but it goes back to intention. It all starts with, what hole are you playing? What's the yardage? And how bad do you want? And what's par?
Are you any good at golf?
If you even know what golf is.
I mean, you could play rugby and have a whole different world.
By the way, speaking of a whole different world, our world really changed here at Lupin. In an indirect way, but for me, a very profound way. There was this terrible fire up in Middleton, California, and there is another clothing optional environment was Harbin Hot Springs, and it burnt down. when I first heard the news, I've been there. I had tears in my eyes. I just exchanged an email with our good friends, Lori and Jerry, up in Fairfax. They were like devastated. It was a really important place for them. Jerry said it was heaven on earth. Closest he thought he'd ever get was Harbin.
Yeah.
And Lori shared a three very sads. So it meant a lot to people. Like Lupin, we try and create an environment where you can be free and it's beautiful and you're in nature. You're with people who can be comfortable in their bodies, whatever they look like. And that's part of what we offer here at Lupin, is a step toward full self-acceptance. And that is, let's start with the obvious. Let's start with the body. See where, if, and how you might be in resistance to the way your body is. Basically, most of us, I would say, one way or another, are in resistance to the way the body is, at least
it's
off
only,
and on.
By the way, it's only because we have all these images out there through media that are telling us that these are the kinds of bodies that everybody loves, envies, and wants to be. And those are 1% or less than that, 1% of 1% probably of the world have bodies like that. And the rest of us have different bodies. And so it's really sad to think that our bodies are being judged by such a small percentage of humanity, and that we who just walk around in bodies that are bodies, they're not good or bad, they're not beautiful or not beautiful, they're just bodies, have to suffer from the media's inundation of what they consider beautiful. And I think that's very sad, because the whole population of the world doesn't look anything like that.
Well, by the way, did you know that the controllers of the world economy and systems and the powers constantly stoke up conflict? Because we still live in a war economy, in the sense that our whole world is run by conflict, creating schism, chasm, frustration. So by making these female bodies alluring to the particular sex that is especially concerned about being attractive, that's your nature. That's how you're built, how you come into the world, is to attract. I mean, that's so biological. But the system creates this dichotomy of, this is what you look like, which is impossible, the little skinny gal, and there you are, whoever. And even the skinny gals, they probably look at that body and think, wow, I wish I had a body like that. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, but to realize that we're victims of that is more important than anything else.
By the way.
Yes?
The dichotomy between the way we want to be and our inability to be that, it's like a rat on a maze. It causes us to buy, purchase, consume over and over again, trying to solve the problem. But that's not the only kind of resistance we have to our body. It's not just what you look like and what the media projects, but there's also just the resistance to going old. There's the resistance to pain. There's the resistance to, you want to do something and your body's not cooperating for whatever reason.
By the way, I have a body like that.
Uh-huh.
It's an older body. Today I was sitting for a long time, and then I got up very, very slowly and painfully, got up from my seat, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. But once I was up, I felt fine. It was sort of readjust. It's almost like you're rusty. You have rust in your body.
And you gather it quickly, though. Sit down for 10 minutes, and the rust is adhering to your cartilage.
Right. And by the way, what I am discovering is, if I don't resist all that, then the truth is, it's just what it is. It's hard to get up, period. It doesn't take away or add to who I am. And I find when I do that, just the facts, ma'am. Give me the facts. Don't give me embellishment of the facts. Don't give me any adjectives. Just give me the facts. I feel much freer.
By the way, you know who's here? Rabbi Greenberg.
Oh.
Rabbi, you have something to say?
Well, by the way, I was talking to someone about what you're saying, that it's just the facts and you're not adding adjectives. So We had a roundup of adjectives recently in the neighborhood not far from where I live. We rounded up the attitudes that we felt were hurting people as much as the gangsters. The attitudes like, I don't like it, and what's wrong with me, and why aren't I perfect, and I'm such a mess, and this guy's a mess.
Or stupid, disgusting, moronic, idiotic, things like that that we labor under.
So we went and we hired the attitude collecting police.
Attitude department, or adjectives?
Adjectives. Did I say attitude? But this is they'll go together. The attitude and the adjective, because they both are add-ons.
Add-ons. Okay.
And so what you're saying is take the add-on off. Right?
Yes.
You take the add-on off, and you just call it what it is. It's like, Yeshua, I love it, the way he would advertise innocent perception. Such a good thing. It makes me think of the Dalai Lama. He's laughing because he's looking at life innocently. You can see that in his eyes. Did you ever see the Dalai Lama?
I did. I love him.
And he's giggling. He's giggling because he knows. And as we know, I've heard you say, Errol, yeah? You remember the phrase you said there? What about if you really, what was, oh, yeah. It was, if we really knew, we'd be laughing. That's it. That's the phrase. If I really knew, we'd be laughing. So if you need an intention, a place to get to, you can maximize the laughter no matter what's going on in your life.
By the way, I introduced that concept, which we live by and which we know well, to someone, and they really wanted to cling to the fact that, you know, you really need to deal with your pain. I guess there is a time when people need to dwell on their pain, to get into their pain before they can get to laughter. And maybe not. Maybe it's just they're not ready for it. But I know that when we laugh at ourselves, it's like taking a delicious bath. It's like taking a delicious shower, swimming in a beautiful stream that's just the right temperature. Not too hot, not too cold, just perfect. And by the way, when I'm in that water, I know what that feels like. It feels like moving through silk. Silk is around me and under me and above me, and it's so delicious. And life is like that when you don't take it seriously.
By the way, speaking of silk, these singers, the Waylon Jennies, to me are audio silk.
Farewell, your springs of joy are dry. My soul now seeks another home, a brighter world on high. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from home. I'm a long time traveling here. Farewell, kind friends whose tender care has long engaged my love. Your fond embrace I now exchange for better friends above. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling from home. I'm a long time traveling here below to lay this body down. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from home. I'm a traveling here below to lay this body down, to lay this
They are silk.
Too beautiful. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from home. I'm a long time traveling here below to lay this body down, to lay this body down.
I like that.
And sometimes at the end of the day, that is my only goal.
To lay the body down.
Yeah.
Because you're a napper.
I am a napper.
By the way, you know, I'm not. But I have taken more naps in the last few years than ever. I do take naps. I get more tired.
It's true. You do. You weren't a napper, but now you are a napper. And I feel like you've joined the napperhood.
I have, and I feel so much better for it.
And for those of you who are nappers, those of you who are currently listening to Insight Out, The Naked Truth. Oh, by the way, we have a napper convention coming up here in Los Gatos this fall.
No, you don't.
Nappers from all over the world are coming to naps together. We have lectures on the napping techniques.
By the way, there are airports around the world that have napping compartments. They have these rooms where they have these little compartments that are sort of like a cell, but it looks like a luxurious
casket,
exactly. And people go into them and close it up, and it's dark and comfortable, and they sleep, and they take a nap, and they get out, and they're refreshed, and they go about their business. I guess you pay for the amount of time you want to nap. I think that's very civilized. And there's even companies, by the way, that allow you to take nap breaks, not just food breaks or something like that, but you can take a nap break. So let's say 3 o'clock, when your biorhythms dictate that you be horizontal so that you can gain more energy, you take a nap. When you come back, you work better. So people are becoming a little bit more civilized. At least that's my definition of civilization, is the awareness that we need to be listened to. We need to be recognized in order to do good work.
By the way, that reminds me of this line that says, the more you know what heaven's like, the easier it is to find it.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice?
Yeah.
It's nice?
That's nice.
It's nice?
Don't demean the word nice. Nice has gotten a lot of bad press.
As it should, by the way.
It shouldn't. Nice is wonderful.
I have to admit, I have sometimes judgments of nice. Because it's this word that's kind of used to describe a variety of things that seem kind of limpid.
If that's limpid?
Yeah, you know, like...
I'm a nice person and I'm not limpid.
It's true. I don't even know what limpid means, but it sounds like...
It sounds like some underwater creature.
The limpids are coming.
Limpids. And they're white and they're sort of like shiny. And they've got lots of legs or arms.
By the way, in case you're wondering why you're listening to this program at this moment, it's because our intention, or at least mine, is to go into a deeper, new kind of place where I'm surprised by the variegated and colorful ways the universe shows up in a variety of rich and distinctive patterns. I had to reach for that one.
You sure did.
It was a, by the way, but check
it out. It's an exploration. By the way I look at something, the way I look at what we do here on Insight Out, is that we explore things together, Errol and I. We don't take them for granted. We don't take a concept for granted. That's why we're using these little expressions like, by the way. And then we get into it and we poke about in it and we look at the word by and we look at the word way and we look at, understand what way means and what by the way means. And we have a greater understanding at the end of this hour with you than we had before. For that, I'm very grateful.
By the way, you left out another very important word, and we need to talk a little bit about it. See? You don't even know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
It's the.
Oh.
The way. And the gets short shrift. Maybe it's because it's a short word. It has kind of a short word
and
complex.
It's shifty.
And it's used indiscriminately all over the place.
It's not used indiscriminately. It's used very particularly.
That too. But I would say it's one of the most generous of the words.
Generous. That's
yeah, nice. It gives itself.
That's nice.
It is nice. That's good. By the way, did you know that power is a function of agreement? These are some sayings that I'm reading from list of sayings, insights that occurred to me. That is one of the most powerful things to grasp. It ties totally into the more you know what heaven's like, the easier it is to find it. There is power in heaven. So you're looking for power, you're looking for heaven. It's a function of agreement. I'll give you the most definitive example. Money. Money is
heaven?
It is for a lot of people, yes. That's as close as they ever think of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven would be getting a lot of money. Yeah, I could say that for many people. But the point I wanted to make here, well, just a minute. Do you mind if I bring in the professor? Could you talk to this issue about the money thing, how it's a function of agreement?
By all means, my boy. Power, you see, if you look at money and you think about money and you actually hold some money, it's really just a piece of paper. This is obvious, of course. But what does it represent, this piece of paper that gives it so much value? It represents, as you put so well, Errol. Oh, thank you. It represents agreement, because all you have is an agreement about a promise. You agree to accept the promise that money offers you to provide you with that which can be measured. The difference is God, or you should say heaven, the real heaven, offers you a promise of that which is immeasurable.
I would have to agree with that, Professor.
And there comes a certain point in your development when quantity isn't all that it's stacked up to be, as they say, speaking of stacking money upon money upon money. To come back to the notion, though, that we all agree to it. A real strong agreement that gets bona fide is a covenant, by the way. And a covenant is a really strong, powerful agreement. And people have the opportunity here to make a new covenant with themselves, a new agreement. And indeed, I would almost suggest that unless people we do that and come up to the agreement that we are actually acting in each other's best interest, including our own, and there is no shortage of best interest to be had, then people will realize that this is what will truly set them free. And so they want to know what heaven is like. Look at freedom. Look at excellence. Look at anywhere you find transcendence. Anything that puts you in a state of awe, drops your jaw, forces the words, thank you, thank you, thank you, right out of your trembling lips.
By the way, I have to always remind myself and everybody else that everything we say
is absolutely true.
No, it's not absolutely true at all. It's subjective, because one person's idea of heaven, as you, Professor Umbridge, suggested, is this and that and this and that. For other people, it's not. Because you're describing something that's indescribable. So you're putting words on it that come out of your limited awareness of something and talking about the absolute with a limited understanding. Now, I'm not saying you have limited understanding. You have a lot of understanding. But when we talk about something like heaven or God or something like that, the mystery of it is the fact that it, in many ways, is incomprehensible. It's undefined. And we want to give heaven a definition. And I don't think that's possible. To find that is to find a sense of unlimitedness. And I don't know how to describe that, except that it's unlimited. And since I'm so limited, how do I comprehend and engage with unlimitedness?
By the way, Kmart is now carrying surplus of unlimitedness. There is so much of it going on all over the place that Kmart has offered to...
It's a blue light special.
...to carry the surplus of unlimitedness.
Buy one, get three free.
Well, for one thing, it makes it so crowded because it's everywhere. And it's everywhere all the time. So each person's understandable that they would want to go up to it and say, what about me? You know, where do I fit in the unlimited? There's no room for me here.
But and that's so, just it. We are a tiny speck in that unlimitedness.
But a significant speck. This is what I figured out, by the way.
What if it weren't?
But wait. This is what I figured out, by the way. I'll try it again. Of course, this is my subjective opinion, but I'm putting it out anyway.
Well, of course, you should. That's why we have this radio show.
That's right. Okay. Barney, you want to put it out? Yeah, I would like to put it out now. Unity is everywhere. God is like unity, all right? God is the unity. And like God, God is unity. Unity is God. God, you could just say the unity. You could stop even using the word God and just use the word unity. The unity personified. I like that. Some days it doesn't have to be personified, but it makes it easier to feel a heart connection, to have a personified unity. And you say, unity, what are you doing in the unity? You know what it's always doing? It loves itself so much. Unity loves being unified. And it loves it so much that it said to itself, I'm going to disperse little pieces of unity all over the place in the unlimited. So it started dispersing little bits of unity, and it kept breaking it down into smaller and smaller bits of unity, from the galaxies to the planets to the people to the atoms to the whatever is going down way to. But they're all little discrete bits of unity held together by a fundamental pattern. You understand? A pattern. It's like it's this unseen thing that holds it together, kind of like gravity. Yeah. It is gravity, actually. That's the thing that holds it together and keeps it there, that makes it into a unity. And so that's why it's so great. And the other thing, I want to comment on what you were saying there. You were talking about agreement. Unity is the agreement. Unity and agreement are one. Would you not say that, Professor?
Oh, yes, yes. I think that's really quite a decent way of tying together. I'm thinking, yes, it's rather good to mention unity agreement. Well, yeah, very good.
It could be a unified agreement.
I just saw this movie about Einstein, and he was looking for the unified field theory. So there it is again, the unified field. It's like there's this urge in us that wants to find this kind of unifying, all-inclusive pattern, whether it's a mathematical understanding or whether it's a theological or intuitive or artistic, but there's this craving for wholeness, for that rediscovering of that unity over and over again. And so in order for that to happen, there has to be constant breaking down of things so that we can experience them coming back into unity. Remember one of the times, y'all listening out there, when you lost something that you really wanted bad and you found it and how good it felt?
Errol does that all the time. He purposely loses things so he can feel good.
There is some truth to that.
I think so.
But I don't think of myself as losing things anymore. I think of myself as hiding things from myself to see how much I can deceive myself into not knowing where they are. And I am getting really, really good, by the way. I can really hide things from myself really good. I hid these glasses that I'm wearing from myself for 4 days. And I practically tore up the foundation to the building trying to find them. And of course, they were right where I had put them.
Yes, it's being not able to remember where you put them. It's not where the thing is. It's where did I put the thing?
And lo and behold, there they were, and I was so grateful. So I think every time there's separation, like look at romantic love and longing. We write songs about it, this pain of longing, and I wish you were here, she were there, and we were this. And when I go through looking for songs for this show, 90% of them are about romance and sex.
Because that's the point of Eros, that we understand love. I mean, but that's like the first way. We wouldn't have babies without that kind of love. I mean, we wouldn't procreate without that kind of love. It's the necessary beginning of love for all of us is physical love, passion. And yes, it causes many problems. When you get to the agape love, which is the divine love, you're kind of home free. You're in a state of bliss because you're not dependent on the other for the union. You're unified enough with yourself to attract that which you need. So you're always bringing something into union with yourself because you're unified. How's that for a cliffhanger?
Well, certainly he is, my dear. This is Father O'Malley, by the way, and I love the way you hang onto those cliffs. You have a particular quality that allows you to hang. Remember the movie there with Cary Grant and the woman he was courting in that
Eva
movie?
Eva Marie Saint.
Where she was holding onto the cliff at the very end of the movie that she could drop herself down from the mountain, and Cary Grant lifted her up, and the scene instantly changed to where he was pulling her into his arms or something in another context.
It was a train.
That was a train. Oh, they were such a lovely couple they were. But I want to talk to you about this thing that you're talking about here, this flag on the hill. I think that's a lovely image there, Errol, flag on the hill, because that's why I became the servant of people that I am, because I was so impressed by that flag on the hill and its compassionate, service-minded nature that I thought, I think I'll see if way I could do that, which is why I became what I am, which is someone who spends his day seeing how I can be of service to those who need to be served. And it's a joyous way it is. And it's a wonderful way to get, because it's very freeing, because you're not looking, trying to get things for yourself all the time. You realize that unlike trying to get things for yourself, where there appears to be a limited amount and a stingy source, when you give something away, it's the unlimited. Well, by jolly, there you are. Lo and behold, back into the arms of the unlimited. You can access it forever, unendingly, if you have this desire to share and serve and be creative.
Thank you, Father O'Malley.
By the way.
By the way, what?
No, that was my by the way here.
By the way. I think that we're constantly thrust into our own awareness, and our awareness is like a little boat that takes us someplace. We become aware that there's more, get into this little boat, and our awareness opens up as we move out into the deeper seas. And as you move into the deeper seas, you move from the tributaries, which are the rivers or the lakes, into the seas themselves. And you're out there in the middle of this expanse that looks like it's forever. It looks like it's infinite because you can't see any land around you or anything else. And in that space, the only thing you can really connect to that's functional for yourself is the conveyance that you're in and yourself. Your relationship, the union you have, is with the conveyance because you're not in the water. You're in the conveyance, which is on the water. So you're in this little boat and you are in this infinite space, which is the sea. At least it seems that way because you can't see anything other than that. And in that space, that's when I know the unlimitedness. I know it. I feel it within me. And in that space, anything is possible. Incidentally, I can go there anytime once I experience it. I can will myself because I know the experience. Like you said, if you know the destination, it's easier to get there. So once you experience that state of unlimitedness, or we want to call God or love, once you experience it, it becomes easier and easier to open myself up to being there. For me, that is a goal, because it's so much, it's pleasant, it's fun, it's joyous, it's creative, it's just wonderful. And I fall off the boat all the time.
You'd think. We learn. By the way, what this reminds me of is just this feeling of wanting to rise up into this level of awareness. So, and determining to rise, saying to yourself, I will rise. I will rise.
It's through your wounds that the light gets in. It's in the darkest room that the candle glows. It's at the bottom of the deepest well that the softest earth will break your fall. It's on the mountain that I learned the most. It's when I fell down that I knew my strength. It's not my mistakes till you who I am, but what I do with them and who I and I will rise like a poor child given a chance, and I will rise like the sun up through the clouds, and I will rise every time I fall, I'll fall gracefully. 'Cause when I fall, I am given wings. Though I am poisoned, though I'm dark and sad, though I am angry at pictures from my past, I am both loving, I am pure. Shadow and mist, both the peace and the fight. It's through your tears that you'll see his face. It's through surrender that you'll ride the wave. And if the walls are built to block your path, just get up and find another.
Lucinda Drayton. We played one of her songs last week. That's a sweet song.
What is it called?
I Will Rise. So going back to this issue, by the way, we are talking tonight about by the way, to use it in that context. Are you going by the way? Oh, yeah, partner, I'll be going by the way. Are you going by the way? Yeah, I'm going by the way, but I'm going this way, by the way. And that's the beauty of the universe, is that we all can go any way we want, but I don't think you can avoid the unity. No matter which way you're going, you've got to be in agreement with yourself, at least at some level. the parts aren't cooperating, for example, in your body, like if you get a cancer or something, just not going to be able to maintain. And by the way, I don't want to be unmindful of the sense of sadness of all the people who have lost their homes. There were like 400 homes lost in Middletown. And you compound that by all the other devastations and problems and pains that humanity is undergoing as we speak. And whatever else the way is for me, it's being able to be with that level of pain and suffering and frustration with compassion. I believe that the flag on the hill, for me, is the ennoblement and the personification of complete compassion, which is why I say, count me in.
We'll count you in. Count 1, 2, 3.
I'll take 3.
I can count to 5, actually.
No,
it's easier
good.
Because
no,
I got 5 fingers.
I know, but I like 3.
Okay.
Last night?
Well, by the way, last night I saw this movie, Wild. I read the book several years ago, and they made a movie of the book. The last words, the last few words of the book are also in the movie. The woman who wrote the book has gone through all these trials. She was a heroin addict. She was a promiscuous. She was divorced. She'd lost her mother. And she undertook this 1,100-mile trek across the Pacific Crest Trail and underwent enormous deprivation along the way. And she said, if I look back at my life and I had to live it again, I wouldn't change a thing because it brought me to this point and these awarenesses that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't undergone these things. So I'm very aware that in our way, in our travels, in our destination to get to this sense of unity, the sense of unity, because you're never out of unity, but when you have a sense of it, you're aware of it, you become complicit in what happens to you. So to realize that, yes, all these things are going on, but I have a choice. I have a choice to use it for my betterment or to use it to the expansiveness of my own consciousness. To me, that's exciting. That's a way that is fun because you can't escape it, because we're always experiencing life. So to make that choice where I choose to see life as my educator, as a way to expand my consciousness, a way to become more compassionate, to become more unified as I live it, that's inescapable because you're living it all the time. Things are always happening. You can't stop that unless you die.
By the way, speaking of things always happening, we're apparently always happening on a fairly regular basis with this program here live Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Pacific time. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're on a journey for discovering the most laughs and the most beautiful and abundant surprises. And you can contact us by getting a hold of me through my email, estrider@gmail.com, estrider@gmail.com.
And he will share all your emails with me as well.
As well, and I'll share it if you have something to say to Lord Umbridge or Rabbi Greenberg or Father O'Malley. They don't expect you to agree with everything they say. I'll pass the message on, and we can have a conversation from there. So tonight, it was a by-the-way night, and we looked at it from lots of different angles, not the least of which is the way in, the way out, the way towards, the way fairer.
The way fairer. We are wayfarers.
Yeah.
I like that one. That's a fun way to say, speak of way.
Good. Consider yourself a wayfarer. We're certainly on a journey that is full of surprise and challenge. I like to believe that there is purpose to this way that we are in, this process, this path we're on, and that the purpose has something to do with experiencing ourselves as a never-ending fountain, like fireworks. Our souls are fireworking out oodles of colored perceptions based upon manifold experiences and the conclusions we draw from all of that.
By the way, it's getting late.
Well, it is indeed. So we're going to sign off. We are
Rochelle Alicia Strider
and Errol Strider.
And remember,
what's that?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Oh, by the way, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You got it.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for Humanity, Climate Restabilization Plan, and the Evolutionary Principles for a Sustainable Prosperity. Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.